And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Betty Cohn, who during her near-death experience due to a car accident, stood face-to-face with Jesus. Betty, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Betty, let's start on the day that you died and go from there.
Okay. I had been in a car accident. I was a senior in high school, been out. Anyway, had a car accident and I got a slight brain concussion. Actually, it was probably more than a slight. I was in a coma for 5 days. So they took me to ER and I'm in the ICU in the hospital. And I could just lay in there in a coma and I could hear people talking and everything. I could feel pain in my head. And just, you know, my spirit was tuned into everything, of course, but I just couldn't speak. And I kept wanting to speak. And then at some point, I guess my head, I feel like it just, the pain got to bother me. And I just wanted to get up. I was just so determined to get up. And I just got up. I thought I did get up. My body didn't, but I got up and I'm just feeling wonderful. I said, man, this is great. I feel great. You know, and I'm just gliding because you really don't walk. Your spirit just glides. And I'm just moving all around there. And for some reason, I knew that I had dirt in my hair possibly. And so I went over to the vanity there where the mirror is and I could see the hairbrush. And so I reached to pick up the hairbrush and my hand just went right through it. It just kept going. That was the most frustrating. What? You know, why can't I pick this up? And I'm looking at myself, but I was pale, like, you know, spirit form. And I was wondering about that. And I thought, this is odd, but boy, this feels great. And I look and I see in the reflection of the mirror, someone laying in a bed. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, who is that? And so I approach over there to my body and I'm looking myself up, you know, come on. Like I want to get my body, let's go. And nothing happening. So I thought, well, I'm not getting back in that body. I just maneuvered away. I said, okay, I'm not getting back in there. Then I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And I move so freely. It's almost like you do have control, but it's so freely that you're very careful. And so I go over to the doorway of the room and I just look out the hall. And then I see all kinds of things because I'm really seeing into the spirit world, not knowing. I'm seeing people, but I'm also seeing spirits. And just kind of bizarre. And then I see this train of people walking by, but my grandpa, who had died about 6 months before that, he's at the head of this. And he's waving for, come on. And he looked older, like he would have, you know, before he died. And there was a train of young people behind him. This blonde-headed girl, just remember her standing out. She's going around my age, you know, come on, follow us, come on. And for some reason, I just did not trust that automatically. And I thought, I don't know. Why would my grandpa, you know, I'm reasoning, why would my grandpa be with this people here? What would he be saying? I just thought, I don't know. I'm afraid of that. What if I can't get back here to my body if I move? So where were they going? You know, I was just very suspicious. So I just kind of made up my mind. No, I'm not going. I don't trust that. And as soon as I did that, it was almost like now that I've said no to that, now the other can happen. It was like a test. And I really believed later as I looked at it, that was a counterfeit escorting spirit possibly going to give me a trip to hell. And I'm glad I did not follow that, as was happened to Howard Storm. Anyway, as you may know, but so then I turned back into my room, you know, I'm just facing back into the room. And instantly, as soon as I did, the whole room just lit up with the most glorious white, bright light you've ever seen. Just beautiful. And it's just, but I could feel it was like a person, this love coming from it. It was just awesome. But it was so fast and such a flash. It was like, oh my God, this is wonderful. And then instantly I'm just sucked up just like a vacuum into outer space. I'm just sucked out of there. And I mean, I was going so fast that you felt like if you had skin, your skin would peel off. You're going so fast through this tunnel of light. But yet at the same time, you know, it took a little while to get there. And then we're just going, and I was aware of a presence with me. I believe it was an angel, possibly, because I didn't see anybody, but it's like I could sense that someone was there with me. And I knew, even though I'm going through space, I was encased in like an invisible shield. I just call it like a heavenly chariot, is what I believe. And so then as we're approaching closer to heaven, then it begins to slow down the speed, just almost like a like taking a flight to another planet or to another place. And so as we're going, there's all these different colors, and it starts off with the dark purple, the violet, you know, and all the shades of all the colors of the rainbow, down to the orange, yellow, and then to the bright white at the end. But as we go through each color, I could feel, I mean, literally, and it just came right into me, like I experienced it, not just felt it, I experienced it. Every color stood for like one of the attributes of God. I mean, like the royalty, the majesty, the love, the peace, the glory. I mean, all the compassion, all, so many things I felt through this. And it was just beautiful, almost like a conditioning before arrival. And so then when we got to the bright white, then I can see this is the entrance of heaven. And it's like I just step off this aircraft, I just stepped right on. And that's the way it seemed. And then I saw my grandpa first thing. And now he looked young, though, like no more than 33 years old, you know, just early 30s, late 20s. And dark black hair, slender, you know, he's Sicilian Italian, so he's dark skin, you know, he just looked great. And I thought, okay, this is my grandpa. That was, you know, glad I didn't follow that. Anyway, but there's just a beautiful greeting there. And it's just I really was not that close to him here on earth, because for one thing, we didn't get to see them that often. They lived in Illinois. We would go and see them. He'd come down here, but you know, we didn't see them on a regular basis. So I was never real close to him. I mean, I of course loved him, but in heaven, it was just like, wow, we were just bonded beyond belief, the family connection there. And he was just, it was just a beautiful exchange that we had. Just, you know, I'm just here greeting you from crossing over death to this life. And you have an appointment and you'll be fine. You know, just go on. I'll see you later. So then he's left. And I look over to my left and there's this huge crowd of people. I mean, just huge. And I knew that this was my family on both sides. And some of them I had never met before because they were from many, you know, ages before. And ancestors. And so a lot of them were just beaming with such love, and they just look beautiful. I mean, they're just glorious. Everybody's just like at your perfect best and young looking. But I knew, even though that everybody looks young, I knew a lot of those have been around a long time. You know, you could tell you just could sense that. And I knew they all knew me and they were welcoming me so beautifully and just so much love and compassion, just like we're expecting you, you know. And I thought, well, I don't know many of these, but I know these are all family. And so they were just loving on me, and I just was walked up, and they're just, you know, like you have, you know, you're here for a visit, and just this different exchange we have, but it's just a warm welcoming. Then all of a sudden here comes this other man over. And I believe that I didn't know for many years, I always wondered who was, I kept thinking, was that my grandpa? But no, it wasn't exactly. He looked similar. But I believe the Lord revealed to me several years back that that was, in fact, Abraham from the Bible, because he was, you know, Abraham's bosom was at one time in the upper regions of hell in the earth. Now, of course, I believe in the Bible and all this. At that time, I didn't know any of this, but the Lord has revealed to me since then. And so when that was taken up to heaven, when Jesus went into the earth and to upper regions and, you know, held captivity and took them up to heaven, well, that then now paradise, that was Abraham's bosom, which is paradise in heaven. And it's all heaven, but it just surrounds the city. And so Abraham is like, and I'm sure there's many, but he was like the guy for me. And so I thought, okay, that makes sense, you know? And anyway, so he's telling me, he's looking at me and he says, you know, welcome. And just take this all in. Just take your time. Just enjoy it. Just take it all in. And I'm just looking at everything, just absolutely mesmerized with everything I'm seeing. It's just like beyond paradise. Nothing beyond anything you can imagine. The colors are so vivid. It's almost like liquid color pulsating. Everything's alive in heaven, of course. And I mean, just vibrating with such life and just liquid. And you experience everything. I mean, it just comes right into your very fiber of your being, your spirit. And so the colors and the flowers and the trees and I saw creatures, but it was like, they're almost like human because they talk to you. Even the flowers are swaying back and forth and just talking about the love of God. I could feel, I mean, they're praising God and I could feel their love. And they're singing, literally singing voices. I mean, you could hear, I know this sounds crazy, but it's absolute truth. That's what I couldn't get over. I thought, wow, I've never seen such flowers. And all the colors, not just not just the flowers and the paradise and the beautiful meadows and just all the nature, waterfalls, everything, like fountains, just glorious. But also even hues of colors in the air. It's like just in the atmosphere, like when the light would shine, you know, like on Earth, when the light would shine through a window and hits the light at a certain angle, it makes that rainbow color. This is everywhere. And so I was just mesmerized. Anyway, he tells me, he says, you have an appointment to meet the king. And I'm thinking, huh, okay. And then I look over there and all these people to the right, now it's kind of like a valley over here to my right, just kind of goes up. There's a lot of little hills and meadows, and there's just a crowd over there, and they're all just kind of, you know, bustling around, and oh, here he comes, here he comes. And I thought, what are they looking at? So I look over to the left, and there's little rolling hills over here to the left, just in the distance. And I could see it looked just like a round ball of fire had just sat down on the earth, and it's just moving slowly across those hills. And I thought, wow, I wonder what, so I'm looking at this too. I wonder what this is. Anyway, and he comes to the top of the hill. It takes a little while. And then when he gets to the top there and he starts approaching, I could see there's a form taking place in this light. And then as soon as I recognized, oh, I see the face, I said, oh, I know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. I knew immediately. And mind you, at that time, you know, I had just been raised in the Catholic Church and really was not, you know, going to church at that time or anything, you know, not living like that at all. But I had been born again as a child. And I didn't really realize that for many years. But anyway, as I get on the story, you'll see why I say that. But I just knew, though, by my spirit, I knew, okay, that's Jesus Christ. Wow. And then so there's, he said, yeah, go ahead, go up to meet him. So I'm going up this hill to meet him. And as I keep going, all of a sudden, at some point, I just began to lose strength. I got very weak. It's like I couldn't go any further. I couldn't make myself go. And Abraham said, come over here. He said, I want to give you something. Come over here. And so he showed me over there to the left. And I could see also the beautiful blue with gold mixed with like diamonds in it, the river of life. And these shrubs, like trees of life on each side of the river. And they all got fruit. And he shows me right here. He says, now here's some fruit. He said, I want you to take this fruit and eat it. And so it looked like kind of like a cross between a apple and blanked out. What do you call it? Anyway, it's a peach. And so, you know, kind of a copper color, just not very big. And he says, just take and eat. And so I picked it off. And when I did, everything is spirit in heaven, spirit material, yourself and everything. And it was just so easy. And I guess I just kind of, I thought, oh, I don't know if I got it. So I let go. And I thought, and then I looked down and it had already disappeared. And then I looked and there was another one just grew out right there in that same place. I mean, it was just instant. And I said, oh my gosh. And he just looked at me. He said, don't worry, you can't mess anything up here. And I said, okay. So I took it off this time, put it in my mouth. And I mean, an explosion of just power and strength and love of God just saturated me. I mean, it just my whole being, it was more than just a taste. It tasted so quenching of hunger and thirst. But at the same time, it just exploded. I just felt this power. Just, I said, oh yeah. He said, now you can go up to meet him. I was just, I look at it like this on that. I was a spiritual baby. I really did not have enough development spiritually to be able even to stand that, to get up that close to him. You know, I had not really been walking the life, you know, or anything. And so anyway, so then when I did, and then I was able to go up real easy. And I went up there and I stood right in front of him face to face. And I mean, of course, that was the greatest part about being in heaven, that obviously. But his eyes, just so much love and light and beauty. He's very handsome. And I'd say about 6 foot, maybe a little less, and just regular size, slender. And he had on like a white robe with a blue sash. And I saw his bare feet and his skin's bronze, you know, just not real dark, but just kind of middle. And his, I was just looking into his eyes was everything. I mean, just so many waves of love was just beaming off him. He's just saturating me with it. And I'm feeling really a little bit exposed because I'm knowing, you know, I have not been living right. In fact, I was out doing something. I was out last night, my parents didn't know, you know, because I was still living at home. And so I was just feeling a little bit, I thought I was doing something so bad, but I was just in disobedience, you know, I wasn't living for him. And So feeling really, I know he is reading me, like just scanning with those x-ray eyes from birth to future to death, my whole life. And I just, but when as soon as I felt that, you know, because I know he wants to show me his love, you know, with, not that that was okay, because he knew what I was going to do later, but he's just washing me with his love, compassion, just, I mean, it's just like his understanding and compassion was just tangible, such a balm coming through me. And I just melted under it. I was just, you know, I couldn't, it was just hard to contain this, but it was just so wonderful. And I'd never wanted to leave him. I thought, oh my God, everything I've ever wanted, wished for, desired in my life is right here in him. I mean, I can see it in him. Everything makes sense. I understood everything. Everything makes sense on everything in his presence. Again, I have not retained all of that back, you know, some of it, yes, but not all of that back here. And so, but at that, in that, you know, place of all wisdom and all knowledge, I'm standing right there and I just did not want to leave. And of course he knows, I mean, you just communicate spirit to spirit. You just think a question or a statement, he answers. You just hear the answer. You don't really use your mouth to talk. And that's the way it is with everyone up there. And so I'm saying, you know, like, well, what is he? You're in heaven. He said, you know, it's not your time. You need to go back. You don't, you know, you really don't need to stay. And I was, oh, I did not want to go back. And so, you know, there's just this conversation back and forth there. And I was just going to say, and the fragrance in heaven is just off the charts too. I still smell that fragrance in times of when God's manifesting, in times of private prayer, corporate, whatever. I mean, I still do. And it's, I just say it's the fragrance of heaven, praises of Jesus, and of prayers. But anyway, so he's, you know, just, no, you need to go back. You need to go back. And I said, well, how did I get here? What happened? He said, you haven't completed the blueprint I have for your life. And Satan disrupted and tried to stop it. And then he's telling me, you know, he says, you need to go back. He says, I have a work for you to do on the earth. You need to go back. And I just, didn't want to hear that. And then another point, I'm feeling this pull. And I can see these, it looked like little twinkling, almost like incense, twinkling lights of mist coming up. And I could feel it. And he said, those are the prayers that your family's praying for you. And I could feel it trying to pull me back. He said, and it's within my will for you to go back. So I have to answer those prayers. And, you know, and I said, wow. So it's just like, I could feel them. They're just going all the way through us and up to the throne of God. And so I still resisting. And then he says, he said, you know, don't you want to go back and see your mother? And I was close with mom. And of course, I have a lot of brothers and sisters too, but he's trying. I said, well, yeah. He said, but, you know, I said, well, yeah, I do, but I still don't want to leave. I'm going to stay. It's just, it's wonderful, you know? And so he's well, and he says, your mother needs you. And then the next thing is he's just trying to reason with me. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm in a casket. I'm just on the earth. It's just like, you're just, it just happens to you. Anything can happen. You can see all around you. Everything can happen to you right there in heaven. Your senses are heightened to the max, beyond max. But next thing, I'm in a casket on the earth and I'm experiencing my own funeral. And I'm even coming out of the casket, you know, looking, seeing the people and everything and all this grief and sorrow. And it's just, you know, very sad. And then I go back in and then I'm just, oh gosh, you know, and it's like, and then next thing I'm just right back there. Then it's back, just me and him. And he says, is that what you want? And I said, no, I don't want that. You know, and he said, well, that's what it's going to be if you don't go back. And I just, oh my gosh. So the decision, I just did not. Then anyway, and as he just keeps kind of backing up and I just keep going with him. And I can see the city, the outline of the city, the golden, I mean, the pearls. Oh my gosh, all the way around, pearls, 100% just solid pearl all the way around the city there. And there's like three main ones that I could see. And there's one right behind him. And because we're approaching more to that, to go into the city. And he keeps saying, no, you know, don't. And just to tell you what I saw, even some of the structure and things, I mean, buildings, the skyline of all these buildings, it's just, there's plants and flowers that are alive and living, pulsating, that are woven into the design. It's just architecture beyond anything here. I was just so mesmerized with that too. Anyway, but as I'm looking, you know, to wanting to go, and he's just saying, no, don't come any further. And then finally, he even drew his foot like a line. He said, don't come beyond this point. If you do, you won't be able to go back, and it won't be like you think. That really got my attention. It won't be like I think. Whoa, like what I'm thinking. And he says, he stretched his arm to the left. He said, oh, you'll be over here in outer darkness. Well, I really did think it would, that would mean hell, which a lot of places in the Bible, that does mean hell. But I found out later that that did not, because I couldn't figure that out. I was like, how could I have eaten that fruit if I was not born again? It would have killed me. I mean, your spirit couldn't handle that. And the Lord said, yeah, you were born again. You were going to be in the place of loss of reward. He didn't explain all that. But there are different levels in heaven, because you had done nothing with your life yet at that point. You know, I had done nothing to, and I say reward, I mean, that's just the people that you're going to affect in your life, the souls that you will win and influence and everything else, you know, the standing and position you'll have with them, with the Lord for all eternity. And so, and I said, oh, and I just looked over there when he showed me the darkness, and it was just like a doorway kind of, it wasn't pitch black, it was just darker. And I thought, I don't know, what does that lead to? I thought, it almost looks like it just steps off into outer space. I wasn't sure. And I thought, oh, boy, I don't know. I can't chance that. Because, you know, and he knew, I guess. He knew he would explain later, because I just didn't understand. But it was like, okay. I thought, really, in my mind, I thought, okay, I guess that'll be hell. I didn't make it. My gosh. You know? And he knew that's what I thought, of course, because he knows everything. He knew the future. He knew later I'd commit my life. I'd understand it all, and he'd explain it, which has happened. Glory to God. Anyway, so I just thought, okay, can't chance that. I said, yeah, all right. I don't want to chance that. I'll go back. He was so pleased. His whole face just lit up, most beautiful smile. And he tells me, he said, just like he didn't even have to speak it. I heard from him. I just could hear. He said, you've made the right decision. Great. I'm pleased. Very pleased. So I felt good with that. And then next thing I know, it's like I'm just back. You know, it's funny because I don't really remember the trip back as much. It just seemed like it was all of a sudden I'm back. And I would just remember entering the roof of the hospital, coming in through the top there. But I remember exactly what that roof looked like. And there was a shoe up there, you know, just things that you see. And I remember that. And so just, you know, of course, you just go right through everything. Spirit goes through everything. And I come right into the third floor, into the room, into my body. Whether I went through my mouth, just laid down or what, I don't know. I just got into my body. And immediately, of course, I felt the pain. But there was a taste of like honeysuckle. It's really kind of strange. When I took my first breath, it was like the honeysuckle taste. It's just a quickening, like back to your body. And then I'm back in my body. And then shortly after, I don't think it was very long after that, maybe just almost immediately, I began to wake up, I think, because I was just still like in heaven, you know, laying there. I'm still just, I'm just caught up in the spirit. I'm over in that realm so much more than here. And my brother and my father was on my side, on the side of the bed at one point there, and they were my dad was trying to get me to, you know, I obviously was waking up to some degree, because he was saying, trying to get me to drink some water. And he kept saying, you know, can I be your doctor? You know, talking to me like I was a little girl. I was like 17. And anyway, I said, yeah, you can be my doctor. You know, I'm just going along there. And he says, could just drink some water for me. And so I started drinking the water. And you know, anyway, I didn't tell them anything about this. I'm still just so mesmerized. And then next thing, my mother's up there. And when she was there, that's all I talked about. She said, I just kept going on and on. And I do remember talking. I was telling myself, Mother, I just kept talking. I didn't even say where I'd been. I just said the most beautiful, wonderful colors you've ever seen in your life. Colors we don't even have here. And it's just awesome. This is awesome. I said, I saw Grandpa. I saw Jesus. It was just beautiful. The flowers. I kept going on about the flowers and the colors. And that was just not a normal way for me to even talk it. You know, at that age, at that time. So she knew something magnificent had happened. And I really did not tell very many people, just my mother and a few close friends, because it was so sacred to me. I thought, you know, first off, they're just going to think it was imagination or a dream, or, you know, they're not going to believe it. But so I didn't really share it with many people for a long time. And then later on, of course, as I as I committed my life, several years later, you'd think I would have automatically, but no, I was at that age, and this has been, you know, like the hippie era, and I just kind of want to be cool and with my friends and all of that. I don't want to, you know, I'm not ready. I thought later, Lord, I will later. I knew I would someday, but I thought it's just not time yet. I'm not going to yet. And so, but he knew. And then later, of course, I did. And when I, it was several years later, actually, but it just came to that place. And I just surrendered. I said, Lord, I've done everything else. And I said, this has got to be it. And sure enough, bingo. Because it was the greatest event. I mean, I heard the voice of God literally in my house. And I was sitting in my kitchen. I was thinking about some things. And just things weren't really going right. And I was single, living by myself for many years there. And all of a sudden, I was just to this place of, you know, I'm exasperated. And it's like the Lord said, he said, are you ready now to surrender your life to me? That, you know, it's like, are you ready for me to take over your life? And I just, absolutely, it just 100% all the way. And that's been 39, almost 40 years ago.
Betty, thank you for sharing your experience with us. I found it fascinating that you were in a coma, but you were aware of what was going on, like nurses and doctors speaking.
Yeah.
Do you think most people in a coma are in that same situation?
Yes, because your spirit it never sleeps. Your spirit is always aware. Your spirit is, you know, they can hear everything. And that's why I could hear them even talking about, you know, my brother, one of my brothers was saying, you know, she's not going to make it. Let's get her to Oklahoma City. Come on, she doesn't make it. And I thought, my God, So I thought I even rose up at one point and said, what, get me somewhere. You're going to let me die? So, yes, I believe that, because your spirit is, you know, it's fully aware. I mean, we have eyes. Our spirit looks just like us. We have eyes, ears, all of our senses, everything, our spirit. It's just on another level. It's just that it's in, you know, it's restrained because of being in our body. Once it's out of the body, wow.
It would be amazing if somebody at your bedside had like the right instructions for you to wake up, you know what I mean? Or to how to get out of your body, because you're aware of what they're saying. If they could tell you do this or do this and you'll get up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I just, you know, like I said, I believe if I had been walking with the Lord, I would have heard something like that. Yeah, this is just, you know, like I said, because I've just come to find the Bible the most fascinating. I mean, it's just the greatest book, and I believe in it. And so, and it matches. That's why when I was started reading, I said, oh my God, this is exactly like in heaven. Even when I started going to the full gospel church, I mean, where the spirit-filled churches, where they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues and all the gifts and everything. But I knew my mother's Catholic, and she had gotten into this, and I was being witnessed to by everybody. And I thought, and I've already somehow, I think the Lord showed me, and I'm not getting off. I just want to say this. Years ago, even before I committed my life, I just knew, like I told a friend, I said, I don't know. I said, someday I'm going to be part of this big army for God. I just know it. I don't know. And I know I'm going to go to a non-denominational, because what denomination is right? I want non-denominational. I want it just straightforward in there, and let's just read the Bible and study and experience God and everything, you know? And that's the way it was when I first walked into that church. I smelled that. I said, oh, the fragrance of the Lord. This is that fragrance in heaven. So I said, bingo, thank you, Lord.
What is that fragrance exactly that you're speaking of? What does that smell like? Is that like incense or something?
Sweet roses, but not sickening, beautiful. I mean, it's like euphoric. It's like pure ecstasy. It overtakes you. You almost become intoxicated with it. It's that. I've had that in a cloth one time, and I'd had it prayed over, and I said, there's it. And so I kept saying, oh Lord, let somebody smell this. They got to see. And finally my husband did. He said, oh my God. I said, yes. He said, wow. He said, that's that fragrance I've talked about. It's in heaven. So I've smelled it many times, even just in prayer time. I mean, it's just when it gets so thick, it just overtakes you, but it's just beautiful. And like I said, it's hard to, because it doesn't match anything in this world. But when, like with colognes and things, you know, perfumes, I always am, you know, I've compare with that fragrance. Anything that's closest to that, It's the only thing I ever buy. There was one that really came very close. I thought, oh my God, this is very close to that in heaven. And it was called Black. And then they took it off the market. And it's for the one for women. Crazy.
That's
but anyway,
bad.
I know it. It's just that it was, you know, it just was, it's like you said, it smells kind of like roses, sweet roses, but it's just, it's beyond, it's kind of got a woodsy, oh, I don't know. It's just very rich. It's just, it intoxicates your whole body. It's just like pure ecstasy in a fragrance.
I'd like to explore a little more about how you saw spirits and people in the hospital at the same time. How could you tell the difference between the two?
Because the spirits were like in ghost form. They were paler. And I could even see, but demons, I know this sounds, but diseases, I believe a lot of many diseases are demons. They're just evil spirits. And I could see them like scat, you know, they were kind of going through. I thought, oh my God, dark stuff going on here, you know? And yeah, that's how I could tell the difference. And like I said, just that train of people, they stood up. They were the only ones that I really saw as spirits. It was my grandpa with his train of, I don't know, five or six or seven more people, about a dozen people behind him.
When you were traveling through the tunnel, you felt like you had an invisible shield. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned that you were with an angel. Do you think that shield could have been the angel wrapping you in its wings?
Oh, it could be, possibly. I never thought of that. But it's like I was aware of a presence, and I just felt like they were to the side and behind me, and I just didn't want to turn around. I don't know. I just didn't turn around to look. But I possibly, but I felt like, I don't know. It's like I was in an invisible, the way it just came to my mind at that time, an invisible aircraft. That's the way it, I don't know. But it could have been, as you say, never thought of it like that.
After you got back, did you ever research your family tree to see if you could recognize any of the other people that you saw on the other side?
No, I did not. Some of them I did had known, but many of them I didn't. No, I have never done that. But I knew which ones were of my mother's side and dad's side. There were some of both. I just had a, just like you know things when you're in heaven were out of your spirit in that atmosphere.
You mentioned you saw the river of life. And mm-hmm. Some of my near-death experiencers have talked about before you come back, you enter the river and it makes you forget. Would that be the same thing for you?
I don't know. Possibly. But you know, at the time, of course, at that age, I didn't know anything spiritually. I hadn't read the Bible. I hadn't, you know, any of these things. So I just thought, oh, just the most beautiful river. But since then, when I realized and I started reading the Bible and understanding, I said, oh, that was the river of life. The Lord said, yeah, I mean, he's just talking to me. He just unveils so much to me. He said, now, let me tell you about your heaven experience. You know, these different, because that's one reason or another reason why I didn't tell it to very many people. I didn't even understand it enough to make sense of it myself, you know, to explain to other people the questions they would ask at that time. So, yeah, but the river, I just think it's the river of life that it talks about in the Bible. And, you know, there's healing and all kinds of things. I can see people getting in, and it seems like it's kind of vague on this part of the memory. But I remember getting over there and either putting my hand or foot in there. And then I was wanting to jump in, but for some reason I was hesitant. I don't know, but I could see people were going in it. And I've heard of, you know, other people's testimonies where they've got in and swim around and everything. But I don't think I'd heard that about that when they get in there that they, you know, it erases memories. Well, what memories does it erase? I mean, they wouldn't want to erase the memory of being in heaven.
Perhaps, or some of the memories. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
Some of my guests claim that you have the answers to everything on the other side, but you just can't bring it back.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is why, now I know this may, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with Pentecostal or the knowing about people praying in tongues and other tongues and things. But I mean, you know, I was raised Catholic, so it was far stretched for me that I was like, I checked everything out, but boy, oh my gosh, wonderful. I recommend it to everyone. And because it's your original language. You know, when a baby begins to talk, they just make sounds because they're not, That's your original language. It's kind of like that at first. Anyway, through a lot of praying in tongues, and I've been in this many years, of praying the spirit, it really does bring things to your understanding, because your spirit and all that was retained in my spirit. Your spirit knows everything. Once you're born again, you're alive to God. He dwells in you, and your spirit knows it, but it's getting things from your spirit up to your mind. And that's what happens a lot when you pray in the spirit. You get revelation, and God started just unveiling and giving understanding to so many things like that. What was your question there? There's something I was going to get on that.
I don't know. I forgot.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Well, I was saying there's something that you were.
I wanted to ask this. You use the words, and many people do use praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, but maybe it'd be better if we could say they were just speaking spirit language.
Well, right. That is the original spirit language. That's what I believe. And because it's a, you know, universal. I mean, everybody can, when you're speaking that, it's just spirit to spirit. You're speaking to God. And it's just it's like the koinonia, which is the Greek meaning for intimacy with Him. You're praying, and you're praying out your future. I mean, everything to do with understanding, you're building up your spirit man. There's just so many things to it, and I've seen so much evidence. I know where I was going with that. You were saying where you know everything. That's kind of like that. That's a way of digging it out. That's a way of digging, because it was through a lot of praying in the spirit that the Lord started revealing some things to me. It's like He just started bringing it up, because I started thinking about, you know, the things of, from my experience. This was several years back. And it was like I was saying, you know, when did I really get born again then, Lord? I thought it was when, you know, if that was the case, then how could I have been born again in heaven? You know, I was kind of mixed up. And he was letting me know. That's when he explained that. And I said, well, because I would have gone to hell. He said, no, you were born again. You couldn't have eaten that fruit. Would have, you know, there's people who have gone to heaven who didn't, just like Ian McCormick and different ones, you know, who didn't, were not right with God yet. And they still got to come and see, but I ate the fruit. There was just too much, you know. And he said, that is my spirit coming into you, my power and all that. And you couldn't have, your spirit could not have withstood that. And then he explained to me, he said, no, there's different levels in heaven, just like there are in hell. God would not be just if it were not so.
How many levels do you think there are?
I don't know how many, but I just think, you know, there's just degrees. There's like a place of loss of reward. And that's what I would have been in. And it's not like it, no matter what, it's still in our pastor. He had taught on this years back. And when he was on that, I knew this was, I said, that's okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Cause that was what I was picking up already. And he was bringing out scriptures. I think it was in Matthew 25, somewhere in there. Matthew 22:25, somewhere in there, where it talked about people, when we all go for the marriage supper of the Lamb, that there would be some that were there, but they were not dressed for the wedding supper and the marriage supper. And so it's like said, put them out in outer darkness. Well, people think that'd be hell. Well, but like he said, well, they got to heaven. They couldn't, you know, if they were going to hell. So they didn't have any reward coming to them, so they couldn't be at this. So they needed to be in outer darkness compared to that glorious place right there. Just seems outer darkness. So I thought that's what resonated with me. And I just felt the Lord was showing me and telling me that, yes, you would be the loss of reward. And I thought, well, oh, that would be horrible. I mean, he said, but knowledge continues in heaven always. You're learning, you're going to grow. And you probably could, I just think myself that you can grow, because knowledge continues forever. And eternity is so long. I mean, I would grow and learn and maybe come to different levels. I just believe that would be just. Because, you know, since the knowledge continues, what would be the point in being in that place if you were just going to remain that way for eternity? There would be no point in that.
Did the city that you saw on the other side look like a modern city?
In a way, it just looks, yes, way more advanced than us, but yet than we have here. But yet it had that royalty, almost like England type of, you know, kind of an ancientness to it also. But the design and everything was just, it just was beyond, it looked like higher technology. Of course, everything is higher technology in heaven, but I mean, it just, the design was looked more modern and yet ancient at the same time.
Was there a lot of gold?
Yes, gold is everywhere. And this, even the streets, I saw, you know, I was walking on this path that I had, and it was just translucent gold, and you could see through it. I mean, it's just like liquid gold. You could see all the way down, just like it never ended.
After your experience, did you notice that you had any new abilities that could be considered to be psychic?
Yes. And that's how I would have put it at that time, you know. But it literally scared me because I was not comfortable with this. I come back and I even told my, you know, like I said, just a few close friends that I told, and they believed me, you know, and they said, yeah, we know something happened to you because you just seem like you're like, where are you at, Betty? You know, like I just go off in these trances. I just couldn't, it's hard to stay here. I just kept going off. I just go into these trances almost like, you know, like a daze. And, but I noticed such my sensitivity level was so heightened. Even when I came into my home, my mom had fixed up the bedroom with all these bright colors and just overwhelmed my eyes. It was just almost too much. And I thought, well, that light, that glory is still red. I mean, I didn't think that then, but I look back now and say, oh yeah, that glory was still resonating. It took me a while to transition for that to feel normal again. Probably about 6 months to a year before I was just almost, because this is such a pale black and white world compared to there, that it was like, oh God, I just can't get interested in here, you know? And so it was just hard. But yes, my sensitivity was so heightened. I would know things, I could get around people, I could tell, and probably back in those days, I was probably around more, I don't want to say wild, but you know, people that would be suspect. A little bit more than what now, for sure, because I was all, oh God, that guy, I could feel things off of them. And I could tell whether they were good or bad real quick. And of course, still do, but I would know things. I just started hearing, you know, these things about them. Oh my gosh, you know, and I think, how can I know that? So yes, and I would have called it that then. But it was very scary. And what I believe now after all these years, and having committed my life to the Lord, thank God, because I really had some times that this, I would say Satan was trying to, he wanted to put the light out from my experience because he was trying to, he wanted to distort it and bring that power into his world. And so I would have these times, I'd be talking with people, we'd just get on a subject, you know, maybe some in-depth, real deep talk. And all of a sudden I'd be saying these things. I said, I don't know how I know this, but I know. And they said, wow, they're just like, and then all of a sudden, though, it's like I get this crazy feeling come over. It's like I'm going so deep, I can't get back. And it was scary. I mean, I just was, oh, God. And they said, man, what is that? I said, I don't know. But I just it was very, and I know Satan now. I believe Satan was just trying to take me over because I was really not protected by the Lord. Because I was, you know, I had not committed my life yet. And I was still praying and things, but I wasn't, you know, though I didn't make that commitment, I was still living, doing my own thing. And so so it was very uncomfortable. And I didn't even want to go certain places and things because of that. Because sometimes I would be out somewhere. I mean, it was just like a tidal wave would hit me. I thought, oh my God, that guy, I can't be here. You know, just bad things. I wasn't picking up as much of the good. I would, but I wasn't probably around so much good people back then. Well, then later, it was kind of scary. And really, it just started. My mother, she had been pretty committed with, you know, the Lord and everything at that time. And she was praying. She'd always tell me, she said, just start saying the name of Jesus when that happens. And so I did. And that really did drive it off. I mean, I have to say, and I wasn't, you know, I was surprised. I thought, okay, that's got to be it. Then that'll help. So then I just kind of, it was just kind of plagued me almost like every so many years, this thing would come on me more intense. And then finally, though, when I did commit my life to the Lord, I feel, and it sounds, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are strictly, you don't have to have had a trip to heaven before that. These are things God imparts to us, and it's in the Bible about it. But it was like I already was familiar. It's like the gifts were already there, but they weren't channeled yet to God. So it's almost like when the renewing of my spirit, you know, when the Lord came in to dwell then, and I committed my life, and it's like now, and because then he began to, they just all went into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So now, like with meetings and things or just anywhere, I mean, the Lord does use me in the word knowledge, where I know things about a person, what's going on with them. And I mean, it just clears a bell. And sometimes it comes so fast, I can't even, I was just like, you know, whoa, Lord, whoa. And word of wisdom and, you know, just knowing things and prophesying for people and also the gift of working, just all the gifts anytime they're needed. And not, you know, it's just pretty regular basis. So in that way, that's why I said, Lord, and now I'm not afraid of it. It's like, oh, I'm safe now. Because it was scary back then, because it was just because the unknown. I wasn't, you know, I didn't think of it back then, but I think, gosh, the Lord had to be really protecting me. And I'm sure my mother's prayers were covering me. And, you know, because I was, it was just scary. It was scary. And I even feel like I said, I don't know if something's been added to me. It's powerful. I don't know what to do with it. And I'm scared.
I believe you said that when you came back, you saw a shoe on the roof.
Yes.
Did you ever verify that?
No, I didn't. You know, I just, it was just like it was been there a long time. It was, I guess somebody just thrown it or something. But I think it's 3 floors to that hospital, so it wasn't huge. But it, yeah, no, I never did. I never did. But I just remember seeing that and that the pipes, you know, that come up. And of course, it, I thought that was kind of odd. But I thought, well, yeah, come from the sky area. That's why I say heaven is, people can say it's right. Well, it's definitely up, the place. Almost like a planet. But not that it is. It just seemed like that.
Do you fear death at all?
No. No, I do not. It's just stepping out of this. It's just like a glove. You step out and you're out. In fact, the Lord talked to me a lot about, we exchanged a lot of things. And some of those things were personal, and he was showing me my future. I saw some of those things have come to pass, and some of them have not. But it's like a real quick, when he was scanning, it was like his eyes were just scanning. And I saw from birth all the way up. It was just like a picture, but it was going very fast. And some of the things have not yet come to pass, and some of them I didn't quite understand. You know, even when he was saying work to do, I was thinking secular job. You know, like, okay, well, what kind of job? But I had no idea that he was talking spiritual.
Would you be willing to share some of the things that you were shown in the future that came true?
About me being, some of the things were church services, talking with different people and members of my family about the Lord. And then what was going to happen, even some things about one of my brothers. I knew that I was going to have an impact on him getting right with God. God showed me some things. It was like danger. He was going through all these changes. These things were going to happen. He was pretty wild. And then I just saw it real quickly. But then when it did happen, it's like deja vu. I've already done this. I've been here, you know, because I had seen it. And but as far as like world events and things, just that end time army is the only thing I've seen, kind of like what's heading up for what we're heading into pretty much now. That's what I believe. I mean, this
wow,
medieval war.
Do you feel like we are in the end times?
Definitely. Yes, I do. I feel like we're in almost like the last of the last days. Before the change, you know, because this world is never going to end. I mean, I believe the Bible that God's going to bring heaven to earth, and heaven is going to be, it's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And then, though, we're going to go, it's going to never end for eternity. So eternity is a lot. This is the smallest, the shortest time we'll ever live is this time on earth. And as the Bible says, which I believe this because I've seen how time goes so fast. It's just like a blink of an eye almost. It's so fast. But the long, you know, is eternity. And it's not just like I believe the Lord has shown me, like a lot of things, you know, when you lose someone to death or whatever, you think, gosh, I wish I could have done this and that. It's like the Lord says, well, who says you can't? There's many things in the future. You'll do finish a lot of things in heaven, finish a lot of things here when you're back on the earth. You know, you still will. He's just so good that he, you know, these things that we treasure in our hearts and our dreams, he brings them to pass, whether here or you finish on the other side and then come back here. Because we'll end up back on this earth again. Heaven will be ultimately here on this earth.
If you had a friend that was grieving over the loss of a loved one, what kind of advice would you give?
Oh, I would tell them to not talk about them as if they were and was and all that. They still are. They're more alive now than they've ever been, because heaven is just the strongest, most vibrant life there is. When they're, and I would be, especially, you know, well, that would be the case, that they'd be in heaven. And I would tell them, you know, they're still, you're still, you'll always be connected to them, your spirit soul, because love never dies. Love will always be there. And you'll always have this spiritual connection. And it's a bond. And if you want to, you know, I look at it, I do it like this. A lot of people say, well, they, you know, communicate. Well, I believe there's a danger in that, because I, like I say, I do believe the Bible, and I've been on, I've seen the dark side. It is bad. And the light side is much better. So, you know, dabbling, you don't want to get in familiar spirits and things like that. And I think it introduces that demons can imitate our loved ones and be just like them. I'll say, Lord, give, like my mother, I said, give my mother a great big hug and kiss, you know, I, Lord, and I, but I do it through him for safety. And I just feel like he just has a big bouquet of flowers come up before her there in heaven. I mean, God is so wonderfully good, way more compassionate and good than what people realize. Anyway, I would tell them, yes, they're much alive. They're so happy. They're so, you know, they're in your future now. They're in your future now. You've got this wonderful, you had this life, this past, they'll always be, but they're in there. You look forward to, you're going to see them, and it's going to be so beyond what you had here. And there's a closeness with them there. I could not, everybody, even in the hospital, I kept calling everybody my grandpa. I was like, I was still seeing him. I'm like, where's he at? Where's he at? And I was calling my friend grandpa. She kept saying, I'm married. It's not your grandpa, you know? And it was just quite a transition. I was so into the spirit, but it was really kind of scary, because it's like that feeling would come over me. And it's like, I think, okay, I just can't. I don't know. I would get these rushes even. This was, like I said, before I committed my life to, I mean, I just those almost like a drug, like these rushes. And it's like, oh my God, something's trying to pull me. So I was very, very happy to be in the safety of the Lord.
After watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you open to that?
Absolutely. Yes.
What's the best way to reach you?
Well, it would depend on, I have given my phone number before, but I don't, maybe just my email.
All right. What is it?
It's B as in boy, two B's, B lowercase underscore cone, C-O-N-E at yahoo.com.
All right. Betty, before we wrap it up, can you give us one more positive message?
The message that I would give from my heart is, give your life to the Lord. I know that's very cliche sounding, but it, I mean, really, you might as well. I wish I'd done it way years before that I did when I did. I mean, I was like 30 years old by the time I really 100% just said, okay, all the way with God. And it's been the greatest thing, because he's on your side. He's much more, he's not, I mean, he's absolutely beyond wonderful. He's just, in these times and everything that we're in, especially, I mean, just surrender, because you're going to find that all the things you thought he was, he isn't. It's just so, it's almost like, oh my gosh, why didn't someone tell me this? You know, but you don't know that until you come into that. So just surrender and say, Lord, you know, just, I want you in, I enter my life. I want you as my Lord and Savior of my life. And I want to live for you. And just lead me and guide me, and he absolutely will. That would be, you know, that sounds probably standard, what most Christians would say, but, and to not fear death. I mean, fear, death is just, it's just stepping out of this body and going to, I mean, there's no sting in death. Another thing, Lord, show me, I'll say this real quick, that you know, people think that a body dies and then the spirit leaves. No, the spirit leaves, then the body dies. Especially if you're a Christian, because Jesus paid, he took the sting of death. There is no sting. You're gone before. And the body is just like trying, it can't function without. So it's going into all this. You think that person's going, no, it's the body's going through that. The spirit's already gone. That's just the goodness of God.
Betty, thank you for your message. And thank you for being my guest.
You're welcome. And I enjoyed being on here. Thank you for having me. God bless.
God bless you. Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.